Hey guys, good evening and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. I am Michael and I am here to, just kind of read the Bible with you. I am not a preacher. I am not a priest. I am not a rabbi. I am not clergy. I am not a deacon. I am not a pastor, not a bishop. I'm not any of these things. I'm just a guy that loves to go through and read the Bible. And that's one of the things that I truly love to do. So anyway, a lot of things came up this week, you know, and of course, I'm retired, so talking with different friends, seeing different things online, and it's very interesting. People have this concept of ideas and things going on, and they know a little bit about different things, but they don't study God's word all the time. And there's so much to learn. I mean, this is my seventh time reading the Bible. And as soon as I'm done, I'm going to start over again and start over again and start over again to the rest of my life. And there's just so much more that you don't know and we don't understand. And, you know, you keep asking God to give us knowledge, to give us some discernment and everything else to go through it. But there's so many layers to it and it peels back. And last week we were talking about why some of the books weren't in there, Book of Enoch, and some of these other books. You know, the Bible talks about the annals of the kings of Judah and everything else. And my answer is still going to be the same. It's simple. Those books take away from the two purposes of the Bible, getting to know God and having a relationship, and getting to know Christ and having a relationship. That's it. Understand it. You're learning and seeing how God is gracious, merciful, loving, caring, forgiving, and everything else. The same with Jesus. The old covenant didn't work. The new covenant goes with him and everything changes. He's not here to abolish the old covenant. He's here to fulfill it. It's done. Now we move on. Now we have to keep those things in mind, do those commands. He's not telling you to not do that. But he is telling you that there is a new covenant now because man could not fulfill his obligation of that covenant. We broke it over and over and over and over and over again. So now that we're going to get into that, I am going to go through and I use YouVersion. I love YouVersion. I still have old, beautiful Bibles and everything that I read out of. But YouVersion, the NIV, New International Version is very easy to read. And one of the other things that I got onto this last week was a lot of people doubting the Bible and its integrity. Okay. So it's pretty incredible when you see it, you know, 3729 books, of course. You know, 66 books total. And the wonderful thing about it is they're like, well, we've kept these books out. They've kept these books in. And my answer is the God who made donkeys talk in the Bible, who split the Red Seas, who the 10 plagues that happened on Egypt, everything that you saw in Ezekiel, you know, all the bones in the valley come back to life. Over and over again, sending his angels, doing things. One angel wiped out 180,000 troops in one night to go and fight, before the Israelites. Absolutely incredible things. Just wonderful, powerful things over and over and over again. And his justice is just incredible. And we don't think that he can possibly influence minds, human minds, little teeny tiny human minds compared to God, especially after everything that Job went through, you know, just to give an example. Of course he can. Those books are protected. I assure you, if God wants those things influenced, understand those people can't influence it. They're only going to be able to what God says. How do we know that? Because Christ says that in Matthew. I don't speak on my own behalf. When I speak, I'm speaking because God has given me the words to say. I'm doing his work. I'm saying what he wants me to say. So Let's go. Let's listen. We're going to jump into Mark 13. Great book. But let's jump into this and get going on this.
As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives.
And this is an interesting thing. He's talking about these buildings and all these things happening. And a lot of people are missing some of the points that he's making. The earth and the heavens will pass away, and there will be a new earth and there will be a new heaven. But he's talking about himself too. He's the cornerstone, and we have to keep that in mind. So while he has different things going on, he said, all this is going to go away. And, you know, we can relate that to some different areas too. Don't store up your treasures here on earth where vermin and moth and everything will destroy them. Think about what's afterward. Think about heaven and all these beautiful buildings and everything else. They're going to go away. But he's also referring to himself. 3 days. And watch what this says. Here, let's listen to what he says.
At the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come."
Again, here's the things that we're seeing. Wars, rumors of wars, and everything else. And we're going to find out here in the next verse. But these are birthing pains, the beginning of things, not the end of things. Everybody right now is out there. Revelation says this. That's the first place everybody jumps into when they start reading in the Bible. Well, you got to look at Revelations. No, first you have to understand something. And it's quite hard to do. Read the whole Bible. You got to go through it from front to back, okay? Take your time, study, look at the underlying things happening, okay? And you're not going to get it the first time. You're not going to get it the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth, or even the seventh, because I'm there and I'm still seeing stuff. That's the beautiful thing about the Bible, is that the relationship that we're forming with God is because we're studying. I mean, that's what we're doing. You know, we're trying to get our, you know, diploma and then go on, like I said before, to get our associates and then to get our master's and then bachelor of arts and then undergraduate and graduate and all these different things. Well, that is a lifelong commitment. It's not something that you do and you go through it and you said, well, I read the Bible. That's it. I'm done. And we know this, right? Well, that's like the, you know, sower of the seed, you know, the parable that he talked about in Matthew. It's incredible, but this takes time. And anything that you love is going to take patience. It's going to take time. It's going to take diligence, your due diligence, your undivided attention. And that's hard to do in a world like today. It is not easy to do. With so many different things going on. Here's a war. There's a war. Here's an invasion. We got this going on. And we got people that are doing things that shouldn't be done. Everything with the kids and everything else is sickening. How do we get through all this noise, all these troubles and everything going on? Because we have to take time for God and understand these are worldly things. They aren't right, but they're worldly things. We have to focus on God. Peter took his eyes off of him one time when he said, "Hey, walk to me out on the water." He did that and he started to sink because he started paying attention to all the noise and all the wind and the waves and everything else. He started to sink. And of course, Jesus said, "You have little faith. Keep your eyes on me. Be fixed on me." And he'd have been just fine. But anyway, so now we hear that. This is what we got going on right now, right? So let's get back to it.
Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever's given you at that time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit.
It is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Do you think now, in just that little bit of discussion right there, of what Christ is saying, his words, okay, it's not you speaking. You don't think that they can influence James, King James, or the Council of Nicaea, or anybody else out there? God can influence and do whatever he wants to any one of us. And he's very clear on how he'll deal with us. He'll have mercy upon who he wants to have mercy, and he'll have compassion on who he wants to have compassion. And we think that we're going to add to his holy living word or take away from it? Boy, if that's not arrogant. I mean, it's just, there's no way. But we are seeing the things going on today. But you'll notice these same things were going on back then. Ecclesiastes, and a lot, they're not sure, but Solomon probably wrote that. There's nothing new under the sun. Not one thing. There's nothing new under the sun. Tell me something that has happened that is different than it wasn't different before. He's clear about this. So as we get in there, and brother betraying brother, and what is that? Do you think they mean just family members? No. We are all brothers and sisters. Christ cleared that up before when he said, hey, your mother's waiting outside. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? Who are our? Here's my mother. Here's my brothers. All those with him in that group. So it's very interesting. So let's go on down to this.
Brother will betray brother to death and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains.
Now you'll notice, let them flee to the mountains, right? We're going to get that quick devil tongue that's going to come up there and say that he is God. He is Christ. We've already got somebody over there already doing that. But it's not gaining any traction, but it will. And then God is saying, listen, don't take it. Don't go back for anything. Don't take anything. Go. I'm telling you, get on the run and go. Flee. There's nothing here on this world that is important at all. Go. I'm the most important. Obey me. Listen to me. And how do we know that that's true? Go back to Lot and his wife. The angels were clear. Do not look back. Lot did not look back. Kids did not look back. They kept going forward. But she did. And why? Because she was caught up in missing the things that she was leaving. I mean, that's what people are going to have to contend with. That is the standing firm. You're on the move, but you're standing firm in the word of God. You're obedient. You're listening to God's laws, his decrees, his statutes, his commands. And you're being obedient. Don't look back. Flee. If you're on a rooftop, don't go down to grab your coat or anything else. Don't do that. Go up there and stay and pray. And stay with your mind focused on God. It's not going to be easy. Nothing is easy. It wasn't easy for Christ. It wasn't easy for the apostles, for the disciples who their apostles and the saints. It wasn't easy. They had to give up their lives. There was no benefit. There was no money being tossed at them or anything else. They were martyrs, and the reason that they were was because they believed in Christ without a doubt. They saw, they knew, they believed. That's it. And they were betting on God. They were betting on Christ. They didn't worry about this world. They were thinking about what was after this world. Could we do that as human beings? They did it. Could we? You know, I pray so. I hope so. But we never know because we don't know. We're not in that situation yet. We go on with our day and don't give it a second thought. We love to talk about God. I find myself making that mistake a lot of times, and then we're insincere. We pray to God because we owe him a prayer. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, and really looking back. Of course, I do look back. I look at all the things that he's blessed us with. That's one of the biggest sins that we have. I'm thinking of some of the other sins that I do, but that's one of the biggest ones, being insincere, unappreciative. And I think all the time, oh my gosh, you've blessed me with a house, a roof, food, clothes, shelter, everything. You've kept me healthy in my life. And I'm giving you a 30-second to a minute prayer. Now, of course, I do read. And not making excuses. I do read and study and love God's word. But yeah, that's how human beings are. This is why Christ had to come for us. We stink. We're terrible human beings. So let's move on. Let's listen to the rest of what he says here, what Christ says.
Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning when God created the world until now and never to be equaled again.
Now you'll notice Christ said something there. Pray that it won't be during the winter. Because women being pregnant, giving suck in one part of the Bible, nursing their kids. And of course, it will never be equaled again. So what is coming when Christ comes back is going to be rough. We're going to sit here and be all glorious and happy and everything else. Hey, God's coming back. Christ is coming back. But I could tell you, it is not going to be fun for everybody. People have a choice. Mourn for those that, don't want to make that right choice. Mourn for us, because we, although we can boast in God and we do that, understand, God already said, there's a lot of people who are going to say that they knew me and they came to me, and that he's going to say, I never knew you. Get away from me, Satan. You know? Understand, doing everything right. We should be questioning ourselves all the time. And I think that's good. Unless we have a fear of God, and unless we're questioning ourselves and wondering, hey, man, did I measure up? Am I measuring up? And questioning those things. If we're not doing that, then we're really in trouble. But Christ is also, understand something. He's making something known here. He doesn't know. Pray it doesn't happen at winter. Why would he say pray it doesn't happen in winter? Unless he doesn't know. And he has made this statement. So let's listen. Let's go further and listen. But interpreting this, he's not aware it could happen in winter. Maybe it'll happen in winter, but pray it doesn't happen in winter. So let's keep moving on here.
If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard.
Even the elect. Not only God's chosen ones to do something, but that has kind of a double meaning too, the elect. Understand, the leaders and stuff like that, it's kind of a vague word and vast. Think about all the elect that are governing countries and everything else. Could they be deceived? Absolutely. And when you got somebody that's able to perform these things down here, but we know without a doubt, Christ is very specific for when he does come back. And unless you read, unless you know to look for the signs, to look for the things to see, preparing yourself from Scripture and God's Word so that you won't be fooled. And understand, we have a choice, but we didn't really choose God. He chose us. Understand something. He chose us first. And he loves us. And that's a hard thing for people to understand, is how could something that we can't see love us unconditionally? Well, he did send you his one and only son who came down here. And we could not measure up. We weren't worth it. The only good thing that possibly came for us, we were made in his image, but we are vile. I mean, we've seen many different places in the Bible, especially Genesis early, where God himself says every inclination of man's heart is evil. From the time of his birth, we've seen that is evil. So God has a love for us, one we can't understand or we can't relate to. It's in Greek, it's agape. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful book. If you ever read The Love Dare, great book. But this love is completely unconditional. Good, bad, indifferent, I love you. That's the cool thing about it. So let's get on here. Let's get backhand here and go through it.
I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door.
He's not telling you he's coming in the summer. He's giving you an example of, hey, listen, when you see the fig trees, And you see the shoots and, you know, the twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer's near. You know when the seasons come. In the fall, you know it's fall because the leaves fall. In the winter, you know because those cold winds come, everything's barren looking, and we're going to get snow because you can see the clouds. You're able to interpret the seasons and the time of year. He's given you a way to interpret when he's coming back, but he's not telling you what time. He's not telling you that. So I think that's a misconception that people have. Oh, well, it's going to be in spring. No, he doesn't know. The angels don't know. Christ himself told us this. So let's move on.
I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beyond?
Only the Father. Only God knows. And he'll say, enough. And Christ will come. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Well, let's find out. Let's read some more.
Guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned a task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
And again, another misconception. Do not let me find you sleeping. And be on watch for when the owner comes back. That is Christ that is coming back. He is the owner. He's bought us and paid for us. His death, that's we're bought and paid for. We don't own ourselves. Number two, the sleeping. Sleeping is unawakened to the truth about Christ, about God. Don't be sleeping. Know my relationship with you. Know my relationship with my Son. Know the scriptures. Know it. Don't let me catch you sleeping where you don't know a thing about me. You're like chaff. You'll be burned up. Have a relationship with Christ God. Now, there are some that have never heard of him. That's why the whole Bible has to go through the entire earth before these things begin. You can't hold somebody responsible for never knowing. They have a better chance than what we do, knowing and still continuing to sin, which we all do. I do it. So we have to work on these things, and I think that it's important. All I can say is we get on to that, and we should be grateful that Jesus is coming, and it's wonderful. If you want to get into reading, and of course I go through this a lot, and if you want to get into reading and going through this whole thing, it's absolutely wonderful. I love the other perspectives that they give with it. So let's go through, and let's make sure here. I did. Okay, cool. I'll give you Be On Guard with the Bible recap. Guided scripture.
Times, and if so.
All right, so let's get on with this here.
Are we in the end times? And if so, what should we do? These are great questions. And here's what Jesus said about it in Mark 13:33. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Jesus is telling his disciples about some things that will happen in the future, and they have some follow-up questions. When will this happen, and how will we know when it's about to happen? Jesus breezed right past the when question and went straight to talking about the signs. And the signs themselves sound pretty terrifying. But what caught my attention most is how Jesus said to respond to all this. In verse 7, he said, "Do not be alarmed." And in verse 11, he says, "Do not be anxious." Okay, so be on guard, the end is near, but don't be alarmed and don't be anxious. Sure, what? How can both of these things be true? The only way that's possible is if we know and trust the one in charge. And the one in charge promises that his kids will see complete restoration on the other side of all of this. There's a lot we don't know about the end times, but in Matthew's account of this same story, Jesus says one thing that is very clear, and it involves us. He said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So guess what? You and I have a kingdom assignment. We are the ones who proclaim the gospel. So let me proclaim it right now. This is the gospel. All of humanity was born with a fallen sin nature that separates us from God. Even our best attempts at living up to God's standard of perfection will leave us desperately short. that Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, bridged the gap in the way only he can. He lived a perfect, sinless life, then granted us his righteousness and died a sacrificial death and took on our complete sin debt. And then he rose from the dead, defeating sin and death. Salvation is fully, freely yours by trusting in the finished work of Jesus. He made a way for us to be in relationship with God forever. So don't be alarmed, stay awake, and share the gospel.
And there it is again. Stay awake. Know the gospel, share the gospel. Be responsible. We have an assignment, and it is to spread the word. It is to love, spread the word, and show people the word. It's our actions too. Be loving, be caring. Love yourself, love your neighbor as you love yourself. It covers everything. I mean, think about it. It does. And that's not hard to do sometimes, but that's where we have to become transformed in this mind. You know, Paul's very clear about that. Some of us, we're still drinking milk and we should be on solid food. And, you know, meaning God's word. We should be understanding this a lot more. This is it's a spiritual warfare. Understand, it's not blood and flesh. It's spiritual. So we have to make sure that we are on guard all the time. Anyway, guys, I'm going to leave you. I hope that you have a very wonderful and great weekend. And next week, I will see you. And be safe. Be kind to each other. Before you speak out and think about it, like 2 seconds after you say something that you don't want to say, you're going to try to go and suck the words back in. So take your time and just try to stay calm, like she said. Make sure, don't be anxious about anything, and just understand, learn God. It's real simple. And then spread the good news about him also, which is even better. Anyway, God bless. Take care, y'all.